This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I am joined by my co-host Adam Murray. I am Andrew Reich. I forgot that part. I usually forget that part, but this is the 300th episode of the show, Adam. 300.
I remember we had a big deal for 50, and then there was a big deal for 100, and it's amazing we made it to 300.
I know. I mean, I think there's only like a handful of others that have like hit that episode mark on the in the podcast feed for Place to Be Nation. Obviously the original show. There's a couple of others that I'm not remembering right now. But some go every 2 weeks. We used to be every 2 weeks. Sometimes we are. This lately we've been kind of chugging it out every week or so. It's been pretty interesting in the NBA season for the last week or so. Injuries, a little bit of tension. You could feel that some people, like, you could tell in the fourth quarter of these games, Adam, in the regular season, that they're just playing harder. People don't want to lose to bad teams, and they just kind of come out of nowhere and have, like, breakout in the fourth quarter. Some people get hurt, but they come back into the game because they don't want to miss. It's getting fun. It's March. It's getting fun.
Well, the amount of games left are tightening. And
like 20 games, right?
Yeah, so now it's all really jockeying for position, because like you had said previous episode, and it's funny how, like I said, we just big 300, let's just sort of gloss over it. The top 10 seem to have been all set, as both Brooklyn and Houston seem to be falling downwards.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago, and it doesn't look like separate. It still looks like the same. It looks like the Nets are done. It looks like the Raptors are done. And then the Rockets might scare them, but I doubt it.
And now it's just the West play-in games of, it's going to be just a tough ride for everybody.
Yeah, that's the drama, 7 through 10 on both sides. Who's going to, why, like, as of right now.
No, not both sides. Nobody's like Chicago and Atlanta, oh my God, it's going to be amazing.
Philadelphia, with Joel Embiid probably coming back after injury, might be in the play-in. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and the company they have, again, Chicago's not really hiring anybody. Atlanta just has a world of problems. And Indiana, which we'll get to in a second, has their bubble kind of bursted.
I think they could do, because Ben Mathurin got shoulder surgery, he's out for the season. But I think they can make something of it. I saw them play against the Wolves in a really competitive game. Probably had the moment of the year so far where Edwards missed a free throw. The Pacers went quickly down the court to try to get a layup, and Edwards just obliterated it with a block to seal the game. It was pretty amazing.
No. Skip Bayless said it was nothing special, therefore we should believe him.
His head hit the rim on the block. It was incredible. He also sprained his ankle and came back in that game, which is like, wow.
I watched that game, and it was just, yeah, it was a great block and a great thing. But just Indiana, who, you know, you got rid of Buddy Hield. You got rid of,
well, the thing is that they still have they brought in Siakam. Halliburton seems to be back.
They brought in Siakam, but you lost. You know, you lose Buddy Hield. Therefore, who's the next man up there? You lost Bruce Brown, who was sort of your glue guy for the team. So you picked away at your depth to make these two big trades.
Right.
And then, well, with Mathurin out, that hurts your bench. That hurts your shooting.
Well, their defense, it's gotten better, but it's not good
enough. No, it hasn't gotten. It's still.
Well, no. I mean, Adam, anemic. they were one of the worst. They were probably like bottom five. Now they're like, they're slightly above that, but they're not. But I agree with you on that. They're not good enough, you know, and their offense.
They are the second worst opponent points per game behind Washington, who is just. Speaking of who do you think is the worst team? Is it Washington or is it Detroit?
Washington is the hardest one to watch. I would say they're the worst. Their defense is really terrible. The funny part is that ever since they benched Jordan Poole, he's played better. So they actually were on a 16 game losing streak, and they broke the streak when they beat, let me take a look. It was Charlotte. The Charlotte Hornets are really bad. I would say Charlotte Hornets are second worst, even worse than Detroit.
Detroit is just, you just watch every bad break happen. Mm-hmm. It's like they should be watching Charlotte. It's just, well, what can you do if your big three that you were supposed to center around, Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, and LaMelo Ball, are all out? The two are gone, and the third one is, and PJ Washington was your fourth guy.
Right.
So you're just left with absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and then you got Miles Bridges, who's on borrowed time, and but you're also developing Brandon Miller, who will probably be a star in the future. You know, they gave out the monthly awards. Miller won Rookie of the Month for a second month in a row. So did Victor Wembanyama. I don't want to say he's on load management just yet, but I think Wembanyama is at that phase in the season where he's proven enough to be Rookie of the Year, and if you just play him every other game, I don't think people would pay mind.
No, because just every other game, like watching San Antonio is just, like I had said a few episodes ago, it seems they're just wasting his talent already. Like you kind of realize the half season in, oh, this kid's gonna be special. Perhaps we should get pieces around him. No, we're just gonna be really, really bad.
Yeah, and those teams above them in the standings, Utah, Memphis for sure because of injuries, Portland, obviously, Toronto, they have kind of waved the white flag too. You can sort of see with the load management, or not the load management because they find that now, but they you see more DNPs. Scotty Barnes is out with surgery. He probably won't come back later this year. The Nets fired their coach. We talked about that in the last episode. So these teams are sort of like, they know it's time to go. For the other teams that are in that play-in scenario, it's going to be intense. There's just also a little bit of intrigue at the top of the West, you know, Oklahoma City and the Timberwolves. They seem to bandy back and forth between them for the first seed. Denver and the Clippers are making a push. Denver and Boston had a great game on Thursday night on TNT. That was probably one of the best games I've seen this season so far.
It did have a playoff atmosphere, yes. And Denver is just the thing about Minnesota is Towns is out for an indefinite amount of time with his injury.
He tore his meniscus. Just same, probably the same, sir. Probably the same injury as Embiid. It's probably out a month.
That you're like, oh, they'll be fine. I'm like, I don't. It's rough because they had a rhythm finally, and now it's disrupted. And then he's going to come back on a different, you know, wavelength as everyone else is. So.
My feeling is that offensively they'll be worse, but defensively they'll be the same, and they're the top defensive efficiency team in the league. So I think they're going to be fine if the defense stands up, and if Edwards doesn't go out due to injury, that's the other part.
And then just amazingly, Kawhi and Paul George both stayed relatively healthy for the season, and the Clippers look very dangerous.
Yeah, this might not be relevant. Did you like the new logo for the next season for the Clippers?
It looks like they're a Target.
I don't like it. It's like it's navy with crimson. It kind of just looks weird. It reminds me of the old Kings jerseys. Sometimes they wear them as throwbacks, or the Buffalo Braves. Like that's the look it reminds me of. Really, but I mean, hey, to each their own. Steve Ballmer's got all that money, but it'd be funny if they, you know, have the old. They have the look that they have now, and they win the title with it, and then they have to change it. Because when I grew up, every time you change your logo, you won a title. Like the Broncos did it, and they won a title. And but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, the Clippers are just chugging along, man. They don't really have anybody who goes off and has like a spectacular performance between Harden and George and Leonard. They're just steady. They're steady, and they don't really take too much time. You're seeing a few veteran pickups, like Patty Mills signed with the Thunder. I know I'm missing a couple of other ones that got scrapped by the playoff caliber teams, but the West is starting to look pretty good. Like even in the play-in right now is the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns are really good. They just don't have a great defense. That's their problem.
Are they?
Oh, I think they're a good team. Like in the playoffs, if Beal and Durant and Booker, who's been out with an ankle issue, so is Steph Curry. Once Booker comes back, they're going to be dangerous. Like I could easily see him beating like Minnesota or Oklahoma City.
But you say that, but I think that's what's going to happen last week is just all teams are going to jockey for the matchup they think they want.
Mm-hmm.
As
that's what the Lakers
to,
did. They won in Memphis, and they got them, and they beat them.
You know, right now, as we tape, the Sacramento and Phoenix are tied.
Right.
but Sacramento is the sixth seed. Phoenix is the seventh seed. Phoenix would have to play, you know, Golden State, who are currently the 10th seed. Mm-hmm. And the winner plays Minnesota. Okay, that's kind of rough.
But and then Dallas plays the Lakers. And the Dallas.
But we're just talking about Phoenix here.
Okay.
But if Phoenix gets to the sixth seed, they got to go to Denver. And Denver murdered them last time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, oh, well, Phoenix is good. They're going to be, well, what's going to happen if they run into Denver? Oh, well, that's not a good matchup for them. Well, it's what would happen if they run into Minnesota? Minnesota might be a better matchup. Well, what happened, you know, the 4-5 Clippers in New Orleans? Yeah. I don't think New Orleans would want to see the Clippers.
Yeah, the Pels are in the 5 spot. They, it almost...
For this week, which will change next week.
I must tell you this. If you look at the numbers, I know there's 20 games to go. Things can change very rapidly. But if you look at it, the Pels are kind of, quote-unquote, stuck at the 5. Now, between 4-1, there's not much difference, really, at all. You know, like the Clippers can easily jump up to 2 or even 1 if they really make a push and the Thunder go on a losing streak or the Wolves without Towns struggle. Like, things can happen, but I think the Pels are going to probably be stuck in that 4-5 spot. But at least you're not in the play-in like they were last year. The Pels look good. You know, Adam, the weird thing about New Orleans is that I haven't watched much of them because in the second half of games, the games are either they blow out their opponent or they get blown out. They never play close games. So that's the only thing about the Pels that is kind of weird. The Kings are interesting because when you look at their metrics, they're not the great offensive efficiency team that they were last year, where they were like the best ever, but they have that playoff experience and Sabonis is awesome and Fox can really go off and they can kind of turn it on when they want to. So I would still call the Kings a dangerous playoff team. Would you agree?
No.
You don't?
No.
I think the Kings could make a splash.
Because I don't want to say in the West, if they were in the East, I think they could, because I kind of see them as the New York West. You got your two main guys, and then you have other things around it. But again, with the West, well, you got to take out Curry. You got to take out Jokic. You got to take out Phoenix's big three. You got to take out the Lakers. There's just watching Kyrie play, they have been... And this Dallas iteration with now P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford are way different than they were with Grant Williams.
Would you say better?
They're still figuring it out because Derek Lively came back.
I would say defensively definitely better. They rebounded.
Yes, because Derek Lively kind of looked lost when he came back from his injury. And so they need to, you know, and then you bring in a new center until you bring in new pieces and move them around. It takes a while, but just watching Luka and Kyrie knowing where the other is on the court at all time, like there's just almost every pass is like a no look and just, well, how did he know he was going to be there? Them in tune. And like we said, Kyrie has been just a model citizen down there. In Denver.
He hasn't ruffled any feathers. I know we're burying the lead on this one, but Luka Doncic got his fifth straight triple-double, which is an NBA record. That's incredible. Or like the fifth straight 30-point triple-double, which is a record. So shout out to him. The craziest part, do you know who leads the league in triple-doubles right now? You might be surprised, but maybe not. We just talked about it. Sabonis. Sabonis leads the league in triple-doubles. He's got, like, more than 20. I mean, Jokic is right behind him.
I knew it wasn't Jokic. I knew because that was you. You were leading that. That's a too easy, so.
Well, the thing about Sabonis is that he rolls out of bed and he has 15 rebounds. So all he has to do is get 10 assists and he's on his way. You know, with Jokic, it's – I have seen some games lately with Denver where – they did have an overtime loss to the Suns where Durant went off in overtime, but the Nuggets have had some interesting games where Jamal Murray is starting to really feel it. Like he's like going for 30 or 37. So you could tell that Murray is starting to like cook, like it's playoff Murray. Like we always joked about playoff Rondo. There's also playoff Jamal Murray, who is a beast, you know, where he just like, he misses like maybe like 3 out of 20 shots and he makes everything and he doesn't turn the ball over. It's like, it's pretty incredible because you also have the best passing center of all time right underneath. So, Denver's dangerous. I mean, long story short, the Warriors got on a running streak. They had a horrible, horrible road blowout loss to the Celtics, where the Celtics beat them by over 50 points. But then they came back and they blew out the Bucks at home. So they're trying to figure it out. Curry's got the ankle injury, so that might hurt him because he'll be out a week. It's not as bad as they thought it would be. They're going to make the play-in, but I mean, how far do you think they can go?
The Warriors?
Yes.
They seem to be all on the same page. When Chris Paul comes back, that might throw a wrinkle into things, as he hasn't been the piece they've needed. But now that Kerr figured out, I need Kuminga on and I need Wiggins Pajemski off.
Yeah.
And you know, I need to get him some time. Because again, it was just, well, I'm going to play my old guys and I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. Well, that's not working anymore. So no. Kuminga comes in and brings energy and that they didn't have at the beginning of the season. So they are going to be a tough out, but there's always the, there's good odds that Draymond will do something stupid to tank them or blow a playoff game or something.
Yeah, their offense has been better. Even with LeBron sitting a few games, D'Angelo Russell blew up in a game against the Bucks, so he's looked pretty good now that he knows he's not being traded this year because the deadline passed and he's still a Laker. Anthony Davis is not, I don't think he's sat too many games over the last couple of months to my memory. He's pretty much played them all, even though sometimes he doesn't play like 40 minutes a game. They're still waiting for Gabe Vincent. They're still waiting for Christian Wood to come back. Jared Vanderbilt sprained his foot. So I think that the Lakers are actually in decent shape. I know some people like to do the Stephen A where they go naysayer or they think the Lakers are going to beat the Thunder. I'm not going that far, but I think the Lakers are going to be, I think they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
I don't even know, because all the pieces we had lauded for them in the offseason of, oh, they're so great, none of them are really being like great.
Mm-hmm.
D'Angelo Russell's been, he's been more on than off lately, but he hasn't been the solution to the point guard position. Gabe Vincent was obviously injured. Mm-hmm. And Reeves is good, but he's come back to reality.
They were at full strength at home and they had a good win against the Thunder, who, I mean, the Thunder have looked good. They haven't lost too many games lately, but they've kind of had the poo-poo platter. Like they played Portland, like they're playing Memphis soon, twice in the next week. So like I think Oklahoma City is in really good shape, obviously with their record. I just wonder their front running. That's my fear with Oklahoma City. The Minnesota Timberwolves are, because of the injury to Towns, they're in a sort of in a crossroads where they have to pivot a little bit and figure out, okay, are we going to knuckle up and play harder so that we can keep that top seed, or are we going to relent a little bit, but we're going to save some of our energy for the playoffs because we can still manage like a 2 or 3 seed in the West without Towns. It's going to be interesting to see. The Thunder are the best team in the West in net rating. They're not even close though to the Celtics. The Celtics are like plus 11, but the Celtics aren't perfect either. They lost 2 in a row to the Cavs and then they lost that close one to the Nuggets. So, you know, as great as Boston's record looks, they're on pace for 60 wins. Their net rating, like I said, is incredible. They're the number one offense. They're not invincible either.
No.
I think there's this talking point out there that they are, but they're not. I'm telling you right now, they're not.
It seems like the only team that could beat Boston is Boston, and that's very possible, as they just get, I don't want to say they get lazy and just, well, let's just shoot threes and play ISO ball and just
Well, the narrative out there is that Miami is the kryptonite. I think they can be. They're playing a lot better now. Their defense is top 10 now. Terry Rozier's back. But the Bucks are good. I think I know I keep harping on it, but the Sixers with Joel Embiid can beat them. They can beat them. Like, it would be a tight series, but I think they could beat them. Now, the Knicks, the Magic, Cleveland? I don't know about that one. Like, Cleveland's been without Donovan Mitchell, but Darius Garland's played well in his place. So they've kind of been picking up the slack and winning games. So it's not like Cleveland is in a free fall in the standings either.
No, Cleveland is back and healthy and... But they just have that history of they're not going to, they need to prove it before people are like, they're expecting we're expecting them to melt at the end of the season or the playoffs.
And I don't want to put it all on Donovan Mitchell because he's a great, great player. But and he's also, like I said, he just had like a knee plasma surgery type of thing, like a cleanup. So it's not all in him when he's out and they lose. But they did not look good at all in that Knicks series. And they didn't really change the roster that much after that, other than adding Strus and George Niang. So I agree with you. Like, they have to prove something in the first round. I think some people are a little hesitant to crown them. But I just think people are too quick to crown Boston. You know, I hate to rain on your parade up there, but like, I think there is going to be some intrigue in the Eastern Conference. I don't think it's just going to be like a rollover. Remember, the Bucks had the best record in the regular season last year, and they lost in 5 to the Heat. So nothing's guaranteed once you make the playoffs. It's a whole new season. But yeah, it's been pretty fun. I mean, have you seen any of these crazy performances that you've really enjoyed? I mean, I talked about Luka. We talked about that great play with Anthony Edwards. We saw Popovich have a meltdown because Sabonis got a breakaway dunk and Popovich thought that they should have stopped the play. You know, there's been some wild stuff going on.
It has been. There's been some good basketball, I'll put it that way. And by good basketball, I mean they've put Portland at Memphis back-to-back games for some reason. They're putting all the bad teams together recently.
Dude, we have League Pass, and I have seen so many Portland games, it's not even funny. Because they're the last team. They're on the West Coast. So, like, I always wind up watching them, and you're right. They're playing, like, the Raptors. And they're playing and then they're getting blown out by the Thunder sometimes, but there's so many good teams and good players in the league that you're just bound to get a good matchup. Like we just had a random performance. Didn't we have recently where Alperen Şengün went for 45 points and 16 rebounds against the Spurs? So even those really meaningless games, sometimes you'll see this like magical performance where you're just like, man, they got a real future there. So it's not all lost when you see these really bad teams play against one another, is what I'm saying. But yeah, the marquee matchups on national television are just, they're much funner. They're much fun. There's like, they're more intense. The fourth quarters are more interesting. I have not seen too many blowouts. There is one thing I wanted to ask you before we kind of wrap things up. If DeJounte Murray still keeps playing the way he's playing and the Hawks can make some kind of magical run, do you think Trey Young's going to get traded?
Didn't I? I like how you finally joined me here on Conspiracy Island of what is Trey Young? You could get a huge haul from him. You could get back this All-Star. Murray seems to be he's a cheaper, better fit.
Mm-hmm. He signed a new deal over the offseason.
Atlanta tried repeatedly. Why not just flip him? Is what I've trying to say. Like,
because he's a rookie supermax player. Remember, he got a little more because he was all NBA. So
yeah, he's a great stat guy, but the team is not good around him, so you have a cheaper, just as good option. Like, you know,
it's interesting. The thing for Young, he's a fantastic player. He's a great like points and assist guy. He'll never give you rebounds. If you get him in the playoffs, he can win you a game. He did that against the Celtics last year. But the thing is, in totality, in a regular season, is he the kind of guy that can lead you to an elite squad? And the answer, I believe, is no. Like, you would have to really surround him with an awesome array of talent in order to do so. And I think the only way he can do that is by being a second fiddle. But the salary at rookie supermax doesn't.
But he just has one speed, and because you were the whole beginning of the season, you were very like, why are you so harsh on him? He's really good, and it's just like, why wouldn't New Orleans call up and say, how about a Zion for Trey Flip? They're both sort of equally.
Well, it's funny because I was ready to give up on Zion at the trade deadline. Now he's really playing well. Like they had a game against Philly. Granted, no Embiid, but Zion played great. Like now he's actually starting to play all the games, which is, I mean, breaking news, Adam. If your star players play most of the games, your team is better than they were if they didn't. Wow. You know, like, why do you think the Clippers are awesome? Because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are playing all the games. Like, if they sat like more than 50% of the games, I don't think they'd have the record that they have, you know. And the Pels is the same way. Ingram's playing, Zion's playing, you got Herb Jones and Trey Worthy. Like, they're playing well. You know, Kyrie Irving is out there playing the games. He's not sitting games.
So it'll be a very interesting Western playoffs, is all we will say. And Atlanta will be in the play-in again. And it's just sort of, why? You have a very expensive roster to be.
That's the third year in a row they're in the play-in, isn't it?
I believe over 3 years, their record is exactly 500. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, you're not, you're a very expensive.
Never forget, though, Adam. They beat the Heat in the play-in. They beat the Eastern Conference champions in the play-in.
yes.
I mean, but I mean, do you think we'll, let me ask you this. I know it's way too early to say who's in them, but do you think we'll see a play-in team get to the finals again?
Not this. The West,
in
who knows?
The West, I can kind of see it. I could see maybe LA sneaking in or the Suns sneaking in.
The West, you can literally pick anybody and it's just as valid.
Right. In the East, only if the we didn't talk about much about the Bulls, but like, because there really isn't much to talk about, but like they're there, they're still hanging around. DeRozan has been great. Like, DeRozan just lives at the free throw line. All he does is just hit clutch shots. So yeah, the teams are just hanging in there. But it's been enjoyable. Did you like the Max Strus 60-footer to win it against the Mavericks in Cleveland? Which one did you like more, one or the Anthony Edwards block?
Oh, I like the block, because the block, the shot was just a
heave.
Wow, that was just a heave. But the block was, that was a block.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then LeBron got 40,000 points. He was already the all-time leading scorer. Now he's, like, just patching it up. But I think Kevin Durant's kind of chasing him, isn't he? Like, Durant's kind of
Kevin has to play a lot more games. Cause
like, five more.
He took a lot off, and I don't think anybody's going to catch LeBron in this go-around.
It's going to be tough. Like, and you know what's funny? I was looking at some of the all-time rankings in the other categories. Like, none of them are getting touched. Like, Wilt's rebound record and the Stockton steals record and assist record. No, not even – no way. Like, the only one that I know is going to get broken soon is Russell Westbrook's triple-double mark, which is, like, at 100, 150 or something like that. Jokic and Sabonis and – Luka are gonna like lap that. They might wind up with 300 at the end.
All right, fair enough. Anything else, or are we?
I have one. So I was watching. So women's college basketball, you know, it exists, but it exists even more in people's heads when you have a star, and they have one in Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Now, NIL has helped keep some of these players around for an extra year, but this is going to be her last year at Iowa. This is not the first time, though, that we've had a female as the biggest college basketball star in America. Do you remember any point where you thought that there was a female WNBA player? Because Caitlin Clark's going to be in the WNBA probably next summer or next fall or whatever. Do you think there's ever a point where there is or there will be a WNBA player that's probably more popular than most male NBA players? Or do you think that's just not possible?
No, that's not possible. And this isn't it's not a slam.
It's not a slam on gender equity,
on anything women's basketball, or anything. As watching, you know, last year's Final Four was way better than watching the men's. It was really entertaining.
It was also the biggest audience they ever had. They played it on. They aired the game on ABC. You know,
but the like everything else, if you're playing in arenas that 2,000 people show up, as opposed to arenas that 20,000 people show up, there's a big difference. Like, we had women's soccer. Oh, you know, women's soccer is huge. American women's soccer team was, amazing. Yeah, but the men's soccer is you're the Messi and the Ronaldos and the Pelés and the... Those are the names. Like, oh, yeah, there's Megan Rapinoe and all the other, but they're, that's Mia Hamm. And, but okay, if you're playing for a smaller crowd, regardless, like that's like saying the greatest, mid-major player will be better than, bigger name than the biggest kid at Duke. Like, no, the Duke kid's always going to be the...
Yeah, we saw that with Zion. Zion was the most popular. Zion, when he entered the NBA, was probably like one of the five most popular players in the league when he entered. Caitlin Clark might be the most popular player in the WNBA when she enters. That's the height of her popularity right now. They had one in 2020, but the tournament was canceled because of COVID. But Sabrina Ionescu is a big star. You know, she played at Oregon. She was the Wooden Award winner twice in a row. And what team does she play for? I forget. You see, exactly.
It was the New York Liberty, and she tore ACL like the first season of her rookie year.
Well, she was in the competition. She was in the the feature of the All-Star Weekend competition with Steph Curry, a shooting contest.
Yeah, and then she beat him last year, and this year Steph won. And okay, good. That's great. That's.
But you don't think we'll have a situation where there'll be a there's so many good WNBA players, like they go to the Olympics and they dominate almost all the time. But do you think we'll ever have like a female player who almost like transcends genders, and it's like, oh yeah, she's way more popular than most NBA players?
High tide raises all ships, but no, that's, you know, let's look at the Olympics. What are the two biggest Olympic sports for summer? You have gymnastics. Oh, we can name dozens of women's gymnastics.
I would say track and field, though.
Who's more popular? Oh, you got Michael Phelps. You got Usain Bolt. They're way bigger than any of the women gymnasts.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's nothing against them.
Then what's going on?
I don't know why you feel the need to compare them to the men's game. They could just be great in women's basketball. And it's like, well, we should bring them in the three-point contest. Why not?
But you believe that's more of a bigger problem with college basketball, as in men's game is just harder to watch, even though it's been around longer than the women. Women didn't start playing March Madness until 1982. But like, you feel like what you're trying to tell me is that the audience is growing, not necessarily because of the star power of the singular players, but it's just a more fun aesthetic game to watch.
Like, you could watch Ivy League basketball, and that's just unwatchable. Mm-hmm. Men's. So just that Princeton slowdown system, like, no, that's not. So women's is getting, like, look at the G League. The G League used to be in, like,
the G League's on life support. The G League is on life support right now. Not G League, but the Ignite is on life support.
Well, we're not talking about the Ignite.
But the WNBA is, at least they're not on life support. It's working, you know.
Is it working, as teams are still moving around, still folding, still?
Well, there's no competing pro women's basketball league in America.
So they are continuing to grow, which is good. The same thing with the G League. Like I was trying to say, they started, that looked like, oh, that's a terrible idea. And then let's put two-way contracts down there. Two-way contracts like a death sentence. Now it's like, oh yeah, they go back and forth and call-ups are.
Now they made a third two-way contract. So yeah, now you got more opportunities. Right.
So yes, it's good to see women's basketball be good, because watching, you know, as us being sports fan, watching sports is good. Like watching, you know, like I said, the Women's World Cup. Yeah, I was watching it.
Yeah.
It's women, good.
Well, women's figure skating in the Winter Olympics. Of course people are going to watch that.
Watching good competition is good for whatever. But is you're going to say, is Caitlin Clark going to be bigger than,
Steph Curry.
Just say, Brandon Miller? No, Brandon Miller is always going to be bigger in Charlotte. And
now,
bigger
star, more marketable are different. I think Caitlin Clark is, Caitlin Clark's already getting ads, like ad play. So
yeah, because she's the first. And I'm not going to go into she's the greatest and, you know, most points NCAA all the time. Well, yeah, because she had, 100?
Got the COVID year, too. So.
No, she's just a straight senior, so she didn't get the fifth year. But, Pete Maravich did it in 3 years. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark needed an extra, 40 games? Yeah. Oh, there's nothing wrong with saying, wow, that's great. But you did it over the same thing. Well, NFL records are being broken left and right.
It's apples and oranges. Now
you're playing a full game. You're playing
now. Thankfully, in the NBA, we've always had high volume scorers, assist people, rebounders. Now because of the rebounding greatness of Will Chamberlain and the scoring output of Will Chamberlain, it's just going to be hard. Like, will we ever see I know this was talked about a lot when the 70-point game happened with Luka. Like, are we going to have a 100-point game? I think no, but it's going to be close. I think someone's going to get to 80 or 90. Like, is there somebody that's going to pass up John Stockton's assist mark? Maybe. Is Victor Wembanyama going to eventually, like, by year 20, pass Hakeem in blocks? Maybe. You know, but it, like, I think the greatness of the NBA is that the high volume of these players where they're averaging this, so many blocks and so many rebounds, so many, that's been from the beginning. That's been since Wilt and Russell got in the league. So it's going to be hard to what I'm saying in the NBA is that there are some records, all-time records, that are very, 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 very hard to surpass. Even with the miracle modern medicine, like, it's hard to keep going and pass those records. But Clark's on her way. I know she set the high scoring mark, but she's a great player, and she's probably going to be the biggest star in the WNBA. I just thought that was an interesting conversation, because I just feel like women's college basketball, the superstars are way more popular than any singular player in college for the men. But men's college basketball been around longer. People bet more on it. March Madness is like a touchstone on the nation. So everybody watches that. But I just thought that was an interesting conversation.
All right. For Andrew Reich, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care. We'll be right back.